Over what is, I say, why? Listening to my dreams, I say, why not? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. Over what is, I say, why? And over what is, what listening to my dreams, I say, why not? Now, over what is, I say, why? We watched the second part of Anne of Green Gables last night, and in the movie, they had a lot of violence where the war was going on, and bombs going off, and all sorts of things like that, and presumably people being killed, but we didn't see any or many being killed. But over what is, I say, why? Now, why did they have that in the movie? Well, the movie was prurient to people who are human. The movie is geared to people who live on a human level. It's a very charming, very wonderful, very human movie. It tells the story of the is of those experiences. Well done. It made you feel very emotionally harmonious with the people. And the movie ended on a very interesting note. The movie ended, if you want to interpret a little bit, it was a useless adventure. They're going to live in the now, and they're going to forget all that went before. They're going to forget the unhappinesses that they had living at Green Gables, she, and the happinesses. They're going to forget the abandonment and the attachment that took place at Green Gables. They're going to forget all those things and live in the now. We were discussing this morning, what is it that makes us happy eternally? Are we eternally happy when we have a happy, healthy body? Are we eternally happy when we have a happy, healthy mind? Or are we eternally happy when we have a happy mind, a happy spirit? Now, what's that all about? When the movie ended, it said they're going to forget the past and move on to the adventure of today. Move on to the wonderful things that lie before them. If we want to grow spiritually, then we have to do a little dreaming, don't we? We don't say, why not? We say, it is. We don't say, what is? We say, what is? Now, that's a contradiction, isn't it? If you're going to keep up on the world news, the world activities, the things that go on around you, then what you're going to be doing is to be living in the past. Because everything you read happened. Everything you hear about happened. It's not happening. When a child is absolutely over flooded with joy and happiness, you catch that bubble and you just love it. When a child comes in and says, oh, Mom, he made me so happy. Oh, that was so nice of him to loan me his fire truck. And that was so nice. And then you say, oh, yes, that was nice. And for a moment, you get a glimpse of the happiness he felt and the happiness you feel and the sharing and the love that was expressed. But you are not that love. You are not that happiness. Now, I tell the story, and I'll use this illustration 100 million times, I'm sure. I tell the story about the mother who won the sweepstakes. And she was angry at her son. He did well, he did poorly in school, he did poorly everywhere, and he made a mess of his room and his home, disrespect for his parents. He just was the bottom of the barrel. But he was her son. And then she got a notice that she had just won $30 million, and she was so awestruck, so beside herself, that when he walked in the door, she could only see a new being. She could only see her son in unconditional eyes, in unconditional loving. Well, how could that make it happen? Because All the things that seemed important to her before were now not important at all. What was important to her was who she was. What was important to her was her unconditional love, her joy in life, her joy in being who she is. And she grabbed him and loved him and snuggled him and made him feel just wonderful. With her squeaky voice, she says, "I love you, I love you, I love you," unconditionally. And he says, "Mom, I thought you were going to beat me up. What's wrong?" You know, and then he shut up. No sense bringing her back to another conclusion. He said, "Thank you." And she said, "Go to your room, change your clothes. We're going shopping for all the toys you want." Wow, you know. And they rode in this aura. They rode in this attitude. Now, you see, that's in the now. Now, did the fact that the young man didn't do well at school on purpose make her unhappy any longer? Did the fact that he was not taking care of his room make her unhappy? That was not in her heart any longer. In her heart was her spiritually illumined awareness of her unconditional love, which is one of the major steps toward our spiritual illumination. Unconditional love. And with this unconditional, there was no past. There was no future. There's only living in the now. Her husband walked into the house and she says, "Sweetheart, I'm so happy you're home. Now the home is complete. Now you make me feel like a woman again. It's wonderful. Thank you, sweetheart." And you see, she could say these things. Now you say, "Well, that's kind of human." Yes, it is. But it's living in the now. She said to her son, "Go change your wet clothes. We're going to go shopping." That's living in the now. And that's human too. But that's not being possessed by it. She merely wanted to put the cause in motion to go and do something, which she did in her heart first. Now, what do you say? Over what is, I say, "Why is it so?" And listening to my dreams, I say, "Why not?" According to our little statement here. What is it that we're saying not, "why not" about? There are many languages that use this word. Ellen?
Yeah.
What is the word in French, naturally?
Naturellement.
Naturellement. What's the word in German, naturally?
Natürlich.
Natürlich. What's the word in Russian? Da. What's the word in Polish?
Italian.
In Italian, yeah. Naturally.
Naturalmente.
I go back to the Polish.
Naturalmente. Oh, do you know Polish?
A bit.
Once. Okay, but you see, they all are understandable. If they were to say that to you in any language, you'd understand. But you would understand the impetus behind it. Now, why not go and do the impossible? Well, it's impossible. No, it's not. Why not go and do it? Do it naturally. Do it naturally with the ease of your awareness that anything is possible, that everything can be done. This mother who won the sweepstakes did not for one second afterwards, did not for one second use that sweepstakes as part of her tool. It was in her consciousness. What the sweepstakes did was to release her consciousness from living in the past and living in anger and living in motherhood to living in lovehood, you know, living in spiritual illumination, living in delight and happiness. And you see, that's what it is that we would like to pursue. I was saying also this morning, as long as we listen to the newspapers, as long as we listen to the newspapers, read the newspapers, listen to the TV, listen to the radio, as long as we read magazines and books and stuff like that about anything else, we're going to be there. And that's not a bad place to be, but it is a place where you say you don't want to be. Do you want to walk your spiritual path? If you want to walk your spiritual path, the more you can spend time on your spiritual insight, listening within and following what the within says, the more greatly you'll be doing everything. Einstein, in many of his theories, had no idea how to get the answer because it was beyond conceptualizing. It was beyond anything he had ever dreamed of. He knew it was there, but he didn't know how to get to it. And so what did he do? He listened within. In quietness, in peace, in meditation, in sleep, or wherever he did it, he listened. And the answer came. Pure, perfect, and wonderful. Now, will it work for you? My goodness, yes. Will it work for everybody? Yes. Why don't we do it? Because you're still the kind of person that if I would give you the Queen Mary, that's a steamship, you know. Or not steam anymore, but it's a big ship. Probably steam. If I were to give you the Queen Mary, and I'd say, you're the captain. You'd say, ah! You'd say, wonderful! There's a lot of responsibility there. You're responsible for the crew, you're responsible for the passengers, you're responsible for all the mail you're carrying, you're responsible for the cargoes you're carrying, you're responsible for maintaining the course of the ship, you're responsible for knowing how to get along with people so that your staff will work with you properly. And you got to know your course. You got to know where you're going. And you see, it frightens us. If I were to say to any of you, the pilot is unconscious, and you must go and fly the plane. And you say, but I don't know how to fly. You must go and fly the plane. Don't ever say, I don't know how. Because if your life depends on it, and you are not hysterical, if your life depends on it, you will go up there, and you will look at the cockpit, and you will say to yourself, it's in autopilot, leave it alone. We're over the ocean. Leave it alone. Let it go where it is pointed. And then you would have everyone take care of the captain and make sure that he comes back to life again or whatever. And if not, then you just talk on the radio because it's open. And you say, I am flight number so-and-so. I am coming into Paris from the Pacific. How do I get down? What do you know how to get down? Well, the pilot is unconscious and he can't help. And, well, doesn't anyone know how to fly it? No, I'm here. Now, this is the cockpit of a 707, now, or a jumbo jet or something else. Now, how does it work? And so they give you a quick course on the simplicity of it. And they tell you how to set it and how to point it and how to do different things. And when you get done and you land that plane, you think to yourself, man, that was easy. I could have done that. It just takes a little bit of caring about sliding in and gently coming down. Because you have to know where you're going to. And you have to know when to start sliding in and when to get lower and lower. And when to pull back on the throttle so that it'll stay down. Because otherwise it'll take off again. You know? And you see, but you know, inside of you, you know. And the thing is, the slower you are when you're near the ground, the better. Except you got to be fast enough to keep you on the runway and off until you're ready to land it. But you see, with people who talk people through that sort of a situation, they have what first?
Self-confidence.
They have an inner equanimity, an inner peace. And they exude this peace to the person they're talking to, so there's no panic. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? They're all above my block. Oh, wow. You know, they're not a parachute. You know? But you see, they have an inner equanimity because they see it done. They say, okay, now here's what you do. No rush. You got another hour before you're coming in, so just play it cool. And do this, do this, do this. Now, do you see the red lights? Do you see this here? Do you turn on that? Now, you have a right to ask this question, but it has no answer. Where's the co-pilot? You are the co-pilot now, because both the pilot and the co-pilot ate something that didn't agree with them. And so, there you are. You say, well, why didn't the hostesses do this, you know? And that's, they don't know how to fly either. And you're the one who got up there, and you're the one who has the ability to say, I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer, and just do everything right. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
But you see, that's living in the now, very much so living in the now, you know? And it's forcing you to live in the now and perform in the now and be in the now. And I'm not saying you should think about this, but after you've landed and after everything has been successfully done, you come walking out with jelly legs and you say, my God, I did do it. I did know. I know that I know that I, yes, I did the right thing. I called the tower and had them lead me in. I did everything right. Whew! God must certainly love me and be on my side. Well, God in you does love you and is on your side when you let the God in you direct you, guide you, lead you, and be all things. So, why not? You see, we live in this world of magnificence. We live in the world of magic. And we are so accustomed to thinking, what would happen if I didn't do the right thing? Don't worry about that. Do the right thing. Don't put in your mind, if I don't do the right thing, because then you empower them. Always keep your mind one-pointed on what you're doing. When my car went into the skid under the bridge up in Minneapolis, and someone else was driving my car, and I said, all is in divine order. We go directly to the curb, facing forward, and come to a gentle stop. You know, not bumping the curb or anything. And it did that. It did that because I would not, that's my car! I would not allow anything else to come into the consciousness of my car. But you see, then comes the time of miracle. I said to the person who was driving, go on, keep driving. You see, I'm in control of what my car does, even if I'm not driving. I'm in control of all circumstances in my life, even if I'm not, so to speak, making them happen. But I am making them happen by my consciousness. And you see, it's not what is. It's what you believe for yourself, what you choose to have in your experience that comes true in your life. And the more you concentrate on the outer, the more you take your power, your attention, your genius away from the inner, the less you listen to the divine within, and the less you reveal what that divinity has to share with you. So, to anyone and everyone, I'd recommend turn off your television set, turn off your radio, turn off your news. But then we're no longer part of a community. Oh, you are. My community is in perfect divine order. That's the only community you know, and that's the only community you experience. My community is in divine order. My world is in divine order. My life is in divine order. Could you have any better order than divine order? Then let's get busy and start doing that. Yes, we still have our pictures around. They'll pop up in most unexpected places. I looked inside of my cupboard yesterday as I was putting a piece of plastic on the inside of the door, and there was a picture of me in Lenzerheide. And years ago, I was skinny as a rail and handsome as a coon, you know. I was just a happy guy. And where'd it go?
Number 13.
File 13. Now you see, that's the past. That's the past. Now, in Anne of Green Gables, every time she thought of the past, she was in hell. She thought of the orphanage she lived in, and in those days they could do anything they wanted to the children and be mean to them and hateful to them and demanding of them, and they had to do it. And they could give these children out to families that needed slaves. You know, they needed someone to take care of the kids and stuff like that. And, you know, you think, my goodness, what a terrible situation. Well, that's the way people created it. But you see, she went back in memory to those things. And every time she went back there, where was she? Right there. So then she decided she's going to live in the now, not in the future. I don't care what comes. I care that we're together and I'm enjoying myself right now. Now, can you do that? Can you do that? Think about it. You're the master of yourself right now. And it's up to you to determine what sort of thoughts you put into your mind, in your consciousness, in your life, in your awareness. I love you. I love you.
Love you. I love you.